for a few moments tonight, if you would turn with me to our text, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. What a blessing it is, dear congregation, to have received Christ Jesus the Lord and to be found following him. So many reject him. They refuse his gracious and loving invitation. However, from now till he comes again, there will be those who will be found for the first time embracing him in the arms of faith. And we read in John 1, verse 11 and 12, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We see that rejection, but then we see that receiving, which there is made plain, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who believe, he gave the power or the right to become the sons of God, that through him they were adopted graciously into the family upon the event of faith. Well, blessed is the man that knows the Lord and is in the family of God. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the brethren at Colossae around AD 61 or 62, whilst he was in prison. Well, in the opening part of the epistle, we read, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, the Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He mentions there their faith. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith, and this was a cause for thanksgiving. Now the Apostle Paul, in writing this letter to them, this epistle, had a great concern for them, particularly in view of false teachers, and so encourages them to continue following the Lord and sound doctrine, to be constant in the faith. And so we read here in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Be constant in the faith, be so walking in the Lord. There was much around to lead them astray. They were to be aware of such things, and they were to follow the Lord. It is verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware! They were to follow the Lord. They were to be constant in the faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Without any further introduction tonight, I'd like us to note, first of all, the Lord, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Secondly, Christ received, and we'll note what that means. And then thirdly, walking in him. So walk ye in him. And we see here that one is brought to faith in Jesus Christ, and now they have a life following him. They are to have a daily concern to follow Christ. They are to have a daily concern to be more like Christ. And you who love the Lord right at the outset, this week your concern each and every day is to follow Christ, to be constant in the faith, to become more like Christ, walking in him. We don't stop walking at the end of the sermon. We're to walk each and every day of our lives. Well, let's consider first of all tonight the Lord. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. the congregation, the Lord is to be received for salvation. Not someone else, but the Lord. Our Lord said plainly in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only Saviour, the only one chosen to save. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, he's the one, the only one, the only Saviour. Now we have before us three names of the Lord. Christ Jesus the Lord. And I'd like us for a few moments to think of these names of our Lord. Names are given for a particular reason. My own name, Aaron, was given after the Aaron in the Bible. James, after my great-great-grandfather. Parents choose names. I had a grandfather called Albert, and you young ones, you know he was named after Prince Albert. I had a granny called Ivy. Why she was called Ivy, I do not know. But names are given, and thought is given to the names, and they represent certain things. When we come to the names of the Lord, they speak forth certain truths. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. We think here of some of the names of the Son of God. Well, first of all, Christ, Christos, the Anointed One, the Messiah. In John 4, our Lord talked with a certain lady, the woman of Samaria, and at one point the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Well, later, her heart being touched by the Lord, she goes to the men of the city and she says this, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They were looking for the deliverer, the Messiah. And the woman had found him, Christ, the Anointed One. In Psalm 2 we read, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, or against Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. As one particular minister from Eastbourne reminded us a few years ago, in Psalm 1 we begin with Christ, and then we come to Psalm 2 and we consider Christ again. He is the King. He is the Anointed One. He was chosen. He was set apart as mediator. Anointed, prophet, priest, and king, as in former times. There was the anointing of the prophet. There was the anointing of the priest. The anointing of the king. Well, Christ was anointed to these three offices at once. Prophet, priest, and king. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Anointed Prophet, the Anointed Priest, and the Anointed King. So when we think of Christ, we're led to consider that he is Prophet, Priest, and King. He is the Prophet to declare God's Word. He made known the Gospel. He went around preaching the Gospel. And then consider he is the Priest. He offered himself a sacrifice for sins, and he ever liveth now to make intercession for his people. We think of when he was here upon earth, he offered up himself and that work of intercession, which now he does in heaven, that work of intercession. The sacrifice he offered himself, and it was accepted. He rose victoriously. We're now his priest. He makes intercession. Dear brethren, he's thinking of you every moment. When you think of the name of Christ, oh, that your thoughts would go to his work of intercession, that he thinks of you every moment. And then as we think that he is the Anointed One, the Christ, he is King. And as King, he subdued a people. Dear brethren, you were brought to his feet. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. By nature, one will not bow the knee. There's mass rebellion. But the king subdues the people. He sends forth his arrows, as we see there in the psalm. Psalm 45. And there was the hour of conviction. But then there was the hour of love. And one is melted by the love of Christ, subdued to his feet. He is the king that subdues a people. But then he defends them. He defends his people. And then he leads them. He leads them forth through the battlefield. He is the king. So when we think of Christ, the anointed one, we begin to consider he is the prophet. He speaks. He speaks the gospel through his word, and he uses his servants today. He is the priest. He offered up himself as a sacrifice for sins whilst he was here upon earth. And now he ever liveth to make intercession. And he is the king, the anointed king, who subdues a people, defends them, and leads them. And all this from the title of Christ, the Anointed One, the Anointed Prophet, Priest, and King. But let's think a little further. He was the Anointed One. And so he was sent and furnished to execute his mediatorial office. He is the Anointed Mediator. None other but him was chosen to save. He's the Anointed One. He's the Christ. We're leading on. Let's consider secondly then his name, Jesus. Christ Jesus the Lord. In Matthew 1 verse 21 we have those familiar words. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now the name Jesus is from Hebrew origin. And it means literally Jehovah salvation. Jehovah salvation. He saves. And that's interesting, isn't it? He's the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed, the Lord's redeemer. Jehovah saves. And so we read there in Matthew 1 verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. A chosen people by grace were given to Christ in eternity. And their identity is known by their faith in Jesus Christ. He saved them, and they are brought unto him. He saves. Mary said, as we saw last week in Luke 1 verse 47, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She knew what it was to be saved. She's looking to the Lord. She's looking to Jesus by way of faith. Have you faith in Jesus Christ, the Saviour? His name is Jesus. Do you really know that name in your heart? How many use the name Jesus each and every day in this world? By way of blasphemy. Do you know his name in his heart, your heart? Have you looked to him? He is the anointed one. He is the anointed to save. His name is Jesus. Have you looked to him? He shall save his people from their sins. We're sinners. By nature we were born sinners. We were sinners even from the womb. Original sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We're sinners. He came to save sinners. There was original sin within, and in time we were found committing actual sin. We're guilty. But what do we read in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save. He accomplished redemption. He kept the law, and he suffered the penalty of the law. He suffered and died on the cross. What do you think of the name of Jesus? He, the spotless Saviour. He shall save, and save he did. Are you acquainted with his name? Do you know his name? You know when you speak of someone, you say their name, you're thinking of them, aren't you? You know them. Do you know him? Whose name is Jesus. John Newton wrote many years ago, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. In a believer's ear, it soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Is his name precious to you? He's your Savior, your Deliverer, and he will see you through. As you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Is his name precious? Is he precious to you? Well, thirdly, let's consider his name or title, Lord. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord. When we think of here of the word that speaks of master, one in authority, respect is to be given to such. We particularly consider the Lord. He is the one of authority, and respect is to be given to him. He is God. He is king and head of his church. He reigns. He is the Lord of lords. Revelation 19, verse 16, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lord. Well, what comfort this brings. We can turn on the television or listen to the radio and we hear of such evil going on in this world. We hear of presidents and prime ministers turning away from the truth of God's word. And they seem to have sway amongst so many. But then we can look up to him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is over all. He sits on the throne. He is the Lord of Lords. Oh, let the whole world stand in awe of Christ. We thought this morning how everyone should be praising the Lord in this world today. As we see in Psalm 101. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands, shout for the King. Everybody ought to be rejoicing in Christ. And as we think he is Lord of Lords, and in view of that, and in view of Psalm 100 and verse 1, everyone should have this awe of Christ in their hearts. He is Lord, master over all, master of my life. Yet many make themselves the master themselves. He is Lord. Philippians 2 verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It's not just a few people. Every knee should bow to the Lord of Lords. Such respect should be given to Christ. There should be such a recovery of the Lord's Day in view of his resurrection. Our churches and chapels should be filled. There should be such a respect to the Lord, such an awe in the hearts, yet his name is blasphemed. Respect is to be given to Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now in Luke 20, verse 42, we read this, and David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. And there David, he thinks of the Father speaking to his Lord, the Son of God. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. And you just notice that one word of David, my Lord. And that's plain that David knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke of him there. My Lord. David knew him. Well, as you think of him whose name is Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, can you say alongside David in Psalm 110, verse 1, my Lord? Do you know him? David was in union with Christ. He was in communion with Christ. We see that in Psalm 45 and so many other psalms. His heart was inditing, it was so warm within as he thought of Christ. He could say of Christ, my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. He's thinking of the Father speaking to the Son, and as he thinks of the Son, my Lord. Mary last week, as we considered, rejoiced in God, her Saviour, my Saviour. David did likewise. My Lord, as you think of him who sits on the throne, as we see in Psalm 110, verse 1, there in exhortation, David views that. Can you say he is my Lord? He is king. We thought he is Christ, the anointed prophet, priest, and king. He is King of Kings. He is the Savior. He is Lord, the one of authority who sits on the throne tonight. Can you look up to him and say, my Lord? Do you have a like faith as with David all those years ago? My Lord. The Lord of Lords is my Lord. He's my master. He's the one over my life. And dear brethren, are we showing to the Lord each day that we recognize that he is our master, our Lord? So we thought of three of the names of Christ, but let's just think of one other name before we move on tonight. And that's the name Wonderful. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful. You've received Christ Jesus the Lord, and you've proved him to be wonderful. Or that we would think of his name each day. You know, often we think of ourselves and no wonder we're miserable. We think of things in the world and no wonder we're miserable. Or that we would think of him who bears the name Wonderful. And it opens up so much, doesn't it? It's like a lid. You take the lid and you look at the lid and you lift up the lid and it just brings out so much more. You think of his name Wonderful. On we can go. So we think of him whose name is Wonderful, and all that we would be lost in wonder at him whose name is Wonderful, our prophet, priest, and king, our glorious Saviour, he who is our Lord, Christ Jesus, the Lord. Well, let's consider secondly tonight, Christ received. Who is received? The prophet, priest, and king. The glorious Saviour, the Lord of Lords, he's the one that sits on the throne, the one that accomplished redemption, the one whose name is Wonderful. No wonder we're blessed to receive him, dear brethren. Now we read here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. The word receive from the Greek speaks of to take. We can also think of John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him or took him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now what does it mean to receive? Well, it literally means, as already mentioned, to take. Well, we cannot physically take hold of Christ. We read in the Song of Solomon, I held him and would not let him go. Well, that's not in a physical way, is it? It's through the arms of faith. We think of Simeon. He physically took hold of the Lord, but he already had embraced the Lord by way of faith. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's not something physical. It must be something spiritual. Well, in John 1 verse 12, we're given the plain answer. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Young ones here tonight, the scripture makes it very plain there that to receive Christ Jesus is to believe on him. To them that believe on his name. And so receiving is a description of faith. We have many descriptions of faith, like eating, drinking in John chapter 6, entering, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, that's a description of faith. Leaning on the beloved, Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 5, well here's this description of faith, receiving. And it's a lovely description of faith, because the scriptures set forth that Christ is the wonderful gift. John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You note those words there, that he gave his only begotten Son. given. Think of a gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And when we think of Christ, and as we have thought already tonight of his name, wonderful, what words can we really say? See there, Paul's lost in wonder. Dear brethren, when were you last lost in wonder? You were found so gazing on Christ that you didn't know what else to say. Words seemed so insufficient to really praise him as you desired, to really think of him. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So wonderful, so lovely. Well, here's the gift. Through faith one receives. But remember, faith is a gift. Faith must be given. Through faith, Christ is received. Listen to Fisher. Christ, the glorious object of it, that is faith, is revealed in Scripture as under the notion of a gift, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, presented to such as are quite poor and have nothing of their own. Well, through faith, one receives Christ. One has Christ. And one can say with the Apostle Paul, Christ liveth in me. That's not true of the unbeliever. But the believer receives Christ in a spiritual way. And then they have this testimony, Christ liveth in me. Ephesians 3 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, it's plain, isn't it? He is the unspeakable gift, and one receives him through faith, and he's found within. Is Christ in your soul tonight? We've sung in those words, judge me, O Lord. We're before the all-gazing eye of Christ. Is Christ in your soul? Have you received him? Have you believed in him? The old catechism puts it like this, what is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace, whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. Have you Christ in your life? And does it show? We'll note this as we draw to a close in a moment. For we read here, so walk ye in him. And it's a humbling question, isn't it? This last week, has the world observed something about us? That we're not like them. There's something different. So walk ye in him. But consider this firstly, the receiving of Christ. On the wedding day, the bride takes hold of the bridegroom's hand. I take thee to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. I take thee. The bride says to the bridegroom, have you Christ in your life? Now on a wedding day, a ring is given. And it symbolizes love. And that one belongs to another. I haven't my original ring. I lost that one and a few others. But I wear a ring because it symbolizes that one belongs to me. There's the token. There's the evidence. It's a real ring. And it's there for a reason. Is there the evidence in your life that you have received Christ Jesus? We don't wear a ring in that way, do we? But is there tokens? Is there evidence? Is there love in the soul? Is there faith? Think back to the wedding day. I take thee to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. And those who receive Christ have him from that day forward. But not just till death does part, but forever. Have you Christ? Is Christ within your soul? Have you received the wonderful gift? Now we read here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now we notice there the apostle is addressing believers. As ye have. Is this your testimony tonight? young ones? Is it your testimony? As ye have therefore received, it's something you look back to. Can you look back to a time, a season? You may not be able to know the precise hour, but can you look back? Yes. The Lord was found in my heart. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There's to be the evidence. There's to be the evidence that we have received Christ Jesus. And the apostle had great concern for them, desires them to be constant in faith, following the Lord. Well, as we close tonight, I'd like us to consider thirdly, walking in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We note these words, walk ye in him. We think of union with Christ. There's this closeness to be. There's this closeness with Christ. We're in union with Christ. And we're to be walking in him, a close walk with Christ. And so the true believer, each and every day, is to be thinking of Christ. As we considered this morning, in making a joyful noise unto the Lord, there's to be the exercise of faith within our hearts. Love is to be in action. We're to be thinking about him every day, to be more like him. So walk ye in him. We're in union. There is this closeness, but all for a closer walk, to be mindful of him. Every day, we're to think of our Saviour. Every day, we're to think of following him. How much I fell, but all to follow him more closely. Now as we close, just note firstly, consider firstly rather, plainly one is to be looking unto Jesus and following him. So walk ye in him, or walk with him. One is to be looking unto Jesus and following him, exercising faith. If I could put it simply, we're to be looking where we're going. We're to be looking where we're going. And the way we are to be going is following the Lord. So there's to be the exercise of faith each and every day. The child of God has been brought to faith. And there's to be the exercise of faith. Now, looking unto Jesus, we need to look where we're going. You know, young ones, sometimes you look down and you may bang into someone or bang into a lamppost. And your mum or your dad says, well, you weren't looking where you're going. How often is it said to the believer, you're not looking where you're going? If we're to be walking in him, we need to be looking where we're going. We need to be considering him, considering the truth, considering his doctrine. We need to exercise faith. Daily, we are to look to Jesus. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I trust in thee, says the psalmist. You see that motion in the soul. His soul is looking up to the Lord and he's trusting in him. Look to him each day. If we're to be walking, we need to be looking where we're going. The way we are going is to be following in his footsteps. Secondly, seek to imitate him. Walk ye in him. Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Now we see plainly that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, because we're told, be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also. Now we have there the word followers. Literally, it's an imitator. And so we're to be an imitator of Christ. Walk ye in him. We're to seek to imitate him. A young one may seek to imitate their father or their mother, speak like their father speaks, or speak like their mother speaks, dress like their father, dress like their mother. And you can tell who children belong to sometimes by the way they dress and the way they speak, the way they look, the way they brush their hair, and so on and so forth. They seek to imitate. We're to imitate the Lord. walk ye in him. There's to be love. What do we read in Ephesians 5 verse 2? Walk in love. Having a love for the Lord and a love for others. Walk in love. Have loving thoughts towards Christ each and every day. Have loving thoughts towards the brethren and others each and every day. Imitate Christ. Think of meekness. Matthew 11 verse 29. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Learn of me, says Christ. I am meek and lowly. Think of the word meek, gentle, mild. And the word lowly, humble. All to be more like Christ, this meekness. Turning the other cheek. This humility, this lowliness. Thinking of the Lord, putting ourselves last. How unlike Christ we can be as believers when the weed of pride shoots from our hearts. Oh, to be more like Christ, meek and lowly in heart, putting ourselves to the back, following Christ. He's the leader, he's the example. But what meekness, lowliness was found in him, oh, to follow him. Seek to imitate him. Now, if this is to be a daily walk, as it is, each day we need to seriously think about Christ and meditate upon him. And we need to consider, in all that we do, what would he do? How would he respond? How would he act? Or to follow him, to imitate him. How much I feel so unlike Christ, but all to walk in him. Thirdly, walking in his doctrine. He is the teacher. We are to follow him. He says, learn of me. We've received Christ Jesus. He's in our lives. We've heard his voice. He is the prophet. We thought of that earlier. He is Christ. He is the anointed prophet. He speaks. We're to learn of him then. And we're to follow his doctrine. We're to walk in his doctrine. Our Lord made this plain in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We're to listen to him. We're not to listen to our own ideas. That's not listening to Christ. In the church, there is what we call the normative view. If it's not forbidden, we can do it. That's not what Christ said. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What he says is to regulate every area of our lives and our churches. He's the teacher, not the minister. From that perspective, not the church itself, but he's the teacher. And we're to be walking in his doctrine. You see, in the day of the Apostle Paul, there were false teachers who were in conflict with Christ. They were to be constant in the faith. They were to walk in Christ's doctrine, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so we are to look at what the Lord has commanded, not what we think, but what the Lord has commanded. That's our duty. Part of walking in the doctrine is walking through what he has commanded, because we know that's what he would have us do. We would not trust ourselves. I cannot trust myself, but I can trust my teacher. You know, young ones at school, there's some things your teacher will say that are not true. That's honest, isn't it? Not everything the teacher says is true at school. And that's increasingly so, isn't it? How many teachers teach evolution? It's an outright lie. But when you consider the great teacher, everything he says is true. We can listen to him. And so we're to walk in his doctrine. We're to follow him. And as we draw to a close, those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord should with great concern desire to walk in him. A daily concern, not a fleeting concern or a passing concern. Each day we ought to consider the blessed Lord. How can I follow him today? What is he saying to me in the Word? Every day. And so tomorrow morning, your greatest concern is to live for God's glory, to follow Christ. And when Tuesday comes, that's your great concern again, isn't it? We shouldn't just put it on to the end of the day. We haven't thought of Christ, but just the fleeting thought at the end. Oh, our great concern throughout the day and whatever we do is to be found walking in Christ. It's a whole life, dear congregation. It's a walk. Walk ye in him. It should be our great concern. Are you walking? At times the believer backslides. The believer stumbles. What will happen then? The good shepherd will pick them up in his merciful time. And he will put their feet upon a rock and establish their goings. The way is before them. Walk ye in him. What a blessing to walk with Jesus. Do you see that, congregation? It's a great blessing to walk with Jesus. Or to be more aware of it. Or to have the eye more focused on Christ. The young lady meets a man. And they hold hands. And the young lady thinks of the man. Her eyes seem to be glued towards this new man. Or that there would be such a close walk with Christ. That our eyes of faith would be so glued on Christ. That we are found walking in him. Oh, for the Lord to open our eyes wider, we who love the Lord. If you're without Christ, oh, that you would be given an eye of faith, that you would look to him. What a blessing to walk with Jesus, to know him who is the greatest friend, to have such a friend that is closer than a brother. What a blessing to walk with Jesus and to follow him to heaven. Are you following him to heaven? Have you the unspeakable gift in your life? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. And dear brethren, we've received him. He who is our prophet, priest and king. He who is our saviour. He who is our Lord. Don't we want to so walk for Christ, following him this week? Walk ye in him. You won't get much help walking with Christ from the BBC or the computer, but you'll get much help through the Word of God and through his Spirit. Walk ye in him. Treasure Christ. He's the unspeakable gift. And out of gratitude to him, walk close to him all the way to heaven. And then for eternity. Amen. Let's turn to our final psalm, Psalm 86. We're going to sing from verse 11 to verse 16. Teach me thy way, and in thy truth, O Lord, then walk I will. Unite my heart, that I thy name may fear continually. We ask the Lord to teach us and then to help us. And we see here in this psalm, so important is experimental Christianity. For we're told here, unite my heart. We need the Lord to unite our hearts that we might walk in his ways and fear his name. O Lord my God, with all my heart, to thee I will give praise, and I the glory will ascribe unto thy name always. Psalm 86, we're going to sing from verse 11 to verse 16. The tune is Wallace. Teach me thy way, and in thy truth, O Lord, then walk will I.
Teach me thy way, and in thy truth. Teach me thy way, and in thy truth, O Lord, then walk will I. Unite my heart, that I thy name may fear continually, may fear continually. O Lord, my God, with all my heart to thee.